What a blessing. What a blessing.
Oh, both
what a blessing.
From Alabama.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
And I was sitting at a Tuskegee game, and I saw a guy sitting in the stand looked just like Johnny Miller. And I have been intending to ask him, and it's been some years. Mm-hmm. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Like the lady says, please announce yourself.
This is the day the Lord has made. And we are rejoicing and we are glad in it. Hallelujah. I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King.
Yeah, rejoicing that you get warm clothes to put on, rejoicing that you get warm house, warm blood running through you.
Hallelujah.
You're a prince. You're a princess then.
That's right. That's right. I'm a daughter. I'm a daughter of the King. And my God has never, my father has never been taken to court for child support. He takes good care of me.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He might be about the only one that ain't.
Hallelujah.
Everyone, percolating today.
Good evening. Good evening, young man.
Good evening, Dr. Singleton and everybody else. Everybody had a great day today.
Yes, sir.
Wonderful.
Is that
the Sister from Cincinnati speaking loud and clear this evening?
No, you won't believe it. That's Sister Brenda Williams. Got a new accent.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, I'm next door to Cincinnati, but he had never noticed it before, so ain't no need to worry about this now. Louisville's right next door to Cincinnati.
That's right.
Good evening. Somebody ring in. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Welcome to our walk in the word. Good evening.
We used to go to the Cincinnati Jazz Festival back in the day. And had to sit outdoors. And, of course, now I don't even like outdoor stuff. Back then, it was, you know, he was young and crazy.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever been to Cincinnati. Been to Dayton?
Yeah, as I say, it's probably about an hour from Louisville.
Columbus,
Ohio.
Yeah.
I don't think I've been to Columbus.
All right.
Because I haven't heard Sister Susan ring in.
Okay.
Let's see what I'm going to do here.
We finna get started.
Just a minute. Get these readers on.
Before we get started, Sister Brenda, please, just in case I may forget tonight, let's ensure we add Sister Ann Mack. She's one of our listeners, faithful listeners out of in Alabama. And she is still in the hospital. She's moved from ICU. She is in a regular room. We are praying Isaiah 53:4-5. But we know that she is healed. But we want to continue to lift her as well as her husband, Isaiah Mack. Junior, and that entire family, as they care for her there in Alabama.
Okay.
All right. somebody ring in. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Hello. Well, this is 7:05 p.m. on this day of December 3rd, 2024. And we welcome you to the call. We're ready for our walk in the word. Welcome to the 3 P's and the E, preaching, prayer, praise, equipment, equipping by teaching in accordance with Matthew 19 through 24. I am your host, Clarence Conner Jr. And we are ready to begin our walk in the Word this evening. So, on the behalf of Gates of Prayer, Got in Place Beyond the Wall, Enlightenment Ministry, and Thursday Night in the Scriptures by Mayor and Minister Mayor Whitfield, we welcome you to our walk in the Word. We're going to begin tonight with prayer by our own Deacon Everett, the Percolator Henderson, followed by a song. And then we will have our walk in the Word. You're ready.
Father God Almighty, we come to you this evening to glorify you and to praise you. For you are God, the creator of all things. You are God, our one and our only source. And Heavenly Father, we need you. We want to thank you, dear God, for how you have continued to keep us safe throughout this day. We want to praise and glorify you, God, for being the sovereign God that you are, because you oversee and know all things, and there's nothing that's going on in our life, there's nothing that's going on in this world that you don't know about, for you have all control, Lord. And God, we just rest in you. Heavenly Father, we seek your forgiveness for our sins. We ask, God, would you create in us a clean heart, and Lord, please renew in us the right spirit. Dear God, we want to thank you for allowing your only begotten Son, Jesus, to die for all of our sins, that we may have life and that we may have it more abundantly to the full until it overflows. We want to thank you, God, that you have blessed us with men and women like Dr. Singleton, Apostle Aside, Elder Tharpin, Minister Mary Whitfield, and many others whom you, God, have anointed to bring forth your word to us with simplicity and with understanding. We ask now, God, as each of us sit at this table to listen to your word being taught, I pray that you will free our minds. We're casting all of our cares and concerns at your feet, because, God, we know that you care. We know that you will sustain us, and we know, God, that you will help us through whatever challenges we have. So, Lord, speak to us now as we sit at this table.
Yes.
Lord, there are many needs on this line. And thanks be unto you, God. You are omniscient. You have knowledge of all things. And we're just going to bring everything to you, trusting and relying on you solely to meet our needs according to your glories and riches in Christ Jesus. And I pray, God, when we disconnect from this line, that you will empower us even more with the Holy Spirit, with the power of Jesus, to press through the challenges and to overcome every obstacle that is placed before us. For, Lord, we are your children, and we have the blood-bought right to come to you at any given time to make our request known. So we're just bringing everything to you, placing them at your feet. Now, God, as we look into the 14th chapter of John, your Holy Spirit, help us to be mindful of the Holy Spirit being activated in our lives, and help us, God, to know your voice, the Holy Spirit, distinctly from that of the enemy, so that we can live the abundant life and share the abundant life that our Savior Jesus died that we may have. We ask these things of you, God, in the powerful and precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Sister Milton, oh. Well, it's in my veins, it's in my veins. Well, it's in my veins, Lord, it's in my veins. While the blood is running warm in my veins, Lord, I'm gonna sing a little over here. I'm gonna sing a little over there. While the blood is running warm in my vein, well, it's in my vein, it's in my vein, well, it's in my vein, Lord, it's in my vein. While the blood is running warm in my veins, Lord, I'm gonna pray a little over here. I'm gonna pray a lot over there. While the blood is running warm in my veins, Lord, it's in my vein, it's in my vein, Lord, it's in my vein, Lord, it's in my vein. While the blood's running warm in my vein, well, I'm gonna shout a little over here. I'm gonna shout a little over there. While the blood is running warm in my vein, Lord, it's in my vein.
Yes, thank
you. Lord, it's in my veins. While the blood is running in my veins. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Deacon Connum, Brother Everett, for opening us up in prayer. I want to say good evening to our family. A good evening. It's truly the day, truly today is the day that the Lord has made, and I am rejoicing and I am glad in it. This
Amen.
Evening, I want to begin a study that we speak about and talk about the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And tonight's specific look or looking at the function of He, Holy Spirit, is Him as the master teacher, Him as the master teacher on tonight. Mm-hmm. So we want to go over to John chapter 14, John chapter 14 tonight, and look at verses 15 through 17. And then we're going to look at verses 25 through 26. John 14, verses 15 through 17, and verses 25 through 26. And we're going to read this evening from the Amplified on this evening. We're going to just walk our way through this passage of Scripture. We're going to look at some observations. What do we see from these verses? Then we're going to look at how we can apply them to our lives, as well as what would be some of our prayer points after reading and studying and looking into this scripture. Again, John chapter 14, verses 15 through 17, and verses 25 through 26, reading from the Amplified. And please, if there's an issue with hearing us tonight, please let us know. As I shared earlier, we are using a little bit different headgear on tonight, but we want to make sure that we are able to hear the study. Please take notes tonight as we begin our study. Verses 15 from John chapter 14, reading from the Amplified. And it reads, if you really love me, you will keep, obey my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, a counselor, a helper, an intercessor, an advocate, a strengthener, and stand by, that he may remain with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome, take to his heart, because it does not see him or know and recognize him. But you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you. Let's go to verse 25 through 26 and see what it says there. I have told you these things while I am still with you, but the comforter, the counselor, the helper, the intercessor, the advocate, the strengthener, the standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf. Notice what it says. He will teach you all things, and he will cause you to recall, will remind you of, bring to your remembrance everything I have told you. So those are our two passages of scripture we want to use tonight, John 14:15-17, and verses 25 through 26 on tonight, as we look at the Holy Spirit, he, Holy Spirit. The first thing I want to do tonight, as we look into this study, I want us to define our definition of Holy Spirit, a little bit about him. He, Holy Spirit, is the omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, miraculous, supernatural mind of God, as he expresses himself in the various ways as outlined in the hearts of yielded vessels. Let me say that again. He, Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is the omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, miraculous, supernatural mind of God, as he expresses himself in the various ways as outlined in the hearts of yielded vessels. He is the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He possesses a mind, emotions, and a will. The Holy Spirit thinks and knows, 1 Corinthians 2:10. The Holy Spirit can be grieved, Ephesians 4:30. The Spirit intercedes for us, Romans 8:26-27. He, Holy Spirit, makes decisions according to his will, 1 Corinthians 12:7-11. He, Holy Spirit, is not an object or a force of nature. He is never, ever to be referred to as an it. He is indeed God manifested in spirit and is available as a helper and Spirit of truth. Yes, he, Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. At the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit indwells us, and we are given a new heart. Ezekiel 36:26. As the Lord told Israel, and I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Ezekiel 36 and verse 27. Our body becomes the temple where the Holy Spirit dwells. 1 Corinthians 3 and 16. Without the Holy Spirit enabling us to understand the Bible, the Word of God, the Constitution, the manual, and God's commands, we could not understand nor could we obey them. Paul states this reality in 1 Corinthians 2, 13 through 14. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, capital S-P-I-R-I-T, explaining spiritual realities with spiritual taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they discern only, you're only able to discern through the Spirit. Thus, for us today, those that are on the line tonight, the Holy Spirit enables us to understand. It is the Holy Spirit that enables us to live out. It is the Holy Spirit that enables us to apply God's word in our lives. And let me say this tonight. It's one thing to get information, to get knowledge. It's another to understand knowledge, the information that you have received. But it's another thing to be able to take the information that you have understood and comprehended and then began to walk it out in your life. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit enables us to understand. The Holy Spirit enables us to be able to live it out. The Holy Spirit enables us to be able to apply God's word in our lives. Holy Spirit is described as a counselor or helper, paraclete in Greek, guiding us in the way of the truth, guiding us in our walk with God as kingdom citizens. You cannot make this journey without the Holy Spirit indwelling on the inside of you, being activated. How do I activate it, Minister Deborah? I activate it through submission, through surrender, and through walking in obedience to the word, the will, and the way of God. That's the only way you are able to do it. You're not smart enough. You're not strong enough. You don't know enough for you to be able to do this and to run this race on your own. So we must have He, Holy Spirit, indwelling on the inside of us so that we will be able to walk this journey, run this race as kingdom citizens. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. We're citizens of the kingdom of God. And as Deacon Carter was saying earlier when we were on the line, I am a daughter of the King. He is a son of the King. And the King takes care of His children. So I'm a part of the citizen. I'm a kingdom citizen. I'm a citizen of the kingdom, Pastor Reggie, Apostle Aside. And because of that, because Christ lives in me via Holy Spirit, I have someone that will walk with me, talk with me, and guide me, lead me, counsel me, as well as correct me. It is our goal in the study tonight that we will be able to understand, embrace, and operate in the Holy Spirit's function as the teacher as we go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, Matthew 28:19-20. So let's go to John chapter 14 and look at our focus verses tonight, verses 15 through 17 and verses 25 through 26, which we read in your hearing. As I said earlier, we want to just look at the Holy Spirit tonight as the teacher. Operating in this function, we know Holy Spirit has other functions. As a matter of fact, let me give you some of them. The Holy Spirit, he functions, he releases power, Luke 4:14. The Holy Spirit leads and directs, Mark 1:12, Matthew 4:1, Luke 2:27. The Holy Spirit gives new birth. We see that in John 3:5-8. We see where the Holy Spirit dwells in people. John 14:14 and Romans 8:9-13 and 1 Corinthians 3:16. Yes, Apostle, we see he, Holy Spirit, brings direction and guidance when we look in Mark 13:36. Acts 10:19. We also see he, Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, producing the fruit in our lives. Ephesians 5:9. Also, we see he, Holy Spirit, providing power for signs and wonders and preaching when we see it in Acts 1:8. He told us that he would give us power so that we would be witnesses throughout, starting in Jerusalem and throughout other nations, other territories, other kingdoms, and other places. But as I said tonight, as we look at the function of he, Holy Spirit, I want us to look at it from the perspective as he, Holy Spirit, as our teacher. And notice tonight as we look at it, we draw in on John chapter 14. The Gospel of John was written by the Apostle John. John proclaims Jesus as the Son of God and Savior, emphasizing belief in him for salvation. It is believed the Gospel of John was written between A.D. 80 and 98. When we come to John chapter 14, we observe the following. Jesus calms the troubled disciples' hearts. He had just told them that one of them was a traitor, that others would deny him, and that he would leave them that night. Instead of giving into a troubled heart, Jesus told them to put their trust in God. Jesus also told them that, I'm going to prepare a place for you, but rest assured, I'm coming back for you. Then he gives them, Deacon Connor, my sisters and brothers tonight, not only does he calm the troubled disciples' hearts, but then he gives them three assurances for troubled disciples. The first thing he gives them as an assurance is, one is, the work you see me doing, you will do that as well. As a matter of fact, you will even do greater things. The second thing we see here in John chapter 14 leading up to the verses that we will focus on tonight is that the one we focus on this evening is, when I depart, Jesus says, when I depart, the Father will send the Holy Spirit. What did he say? He says, he will send to you another comforter, a counselor, a helper, our intercessor, our advocate, a strengthener, and a standby. And what else does Jesus say? That he may remain with you, how long? Forever. And now notice this, Jesus provides this comfort. He says, yes, I'm leaving. Yes, I'm going away to prepare a place, but I'm going to come back for you. Rest assured of that. And the third thing he tells them, you all, is that I will not leave you as orphans. That's what Jesus reassures them, even in the midst of their troubled mind. And when we read that open, it says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Don't let your heart be distressed. Don't let your heart be agitated. You believe in and adhere to and trust in and rely on God. Believe and adhere to and trust in and rely also on me. Jesus comes and he brings comfort to a troubled disciple. They are in distress because of what Jesus has said. But notice the comforter. Notice what he says as he comforts them. He tells them, look, this is what I'm going to do, but be rest assured that I'm coming back. I'm coming back for you. But while I am away, I've already talked to the Father, and I've asked him to send someone else. I've asked him to send you a comforter. I've asked him to send him, and not only will he be with you, but he will dwell on the inside of you. That's why, you all, it is imperative, it's so important that we be about the ministry of reconciliation. So, Maddie, we got to be about telling others about Jesus, that Jesus lives, that Jesus saves, and that they can be a part of the kingdom of God. Mm. Oh, yes. We got too many people walking around. They're breathing, but they're walking dead. We got too many people walking around, walking in darkness, and we want them to come to the light. So we have to be about the business of the assignment that God has given us as kingdom citizens. Jesus said, and go over to Luke 4 and 43, what did Jesus do? He was on purpose. He was preaching what? The good news. The good news. And if Jesus, if he was on purpose, he was on mission, he was purpose driven, that means that's the same thing we have to do as disciples of Christ. We got to tell others about Jesus. We have to tell them that he lives, he saves, and we have to lead them through the plan of salvation. And at that point in time of repentance, true repentance, receiving Christ as their Savior, Acts 2 and 38 says, the Holy Spirit is gifted to them. He comes in and he lives and dwells on the inside. But we got to submit. We got to surrender. We got to walk in obedience. And times that we live in, you all, we don't have time to be relying on our own understanding, relying on what we think it ought to be. But what we have to do is we have to be in a yielded position, be yielded vessels, say, Lord, I don't know. Holy Spirit, I don't know. Show me which way to go. Show me what decision I need to make. I don't want to walk in the same path I used to walk in, a path that led me to destruction, a path that led me to bad decisions. Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Holy Spirit. So as we look tonight at the Holy Spirit as the teacher, he's invited us into his classroom tonight, Deacon Connor, my sisters and brothers. It is imperative we understand who dwells on the inside of us, who is there to lead us, to guide us, who's there to correct us. Let's keep walking tonight. So Jesus, he calms the troubled disciples' hearts. He tells them where they need to put their trust. He tells them he's preparing a place. Then he reassures them. He said, don't worry, because my Father will send you the Holy Spirit. Remember now, don't say it's an it. Don't say it's a something told me. Something told me not to go through the green light. I needed to just wait, and somebody ran the red light. Something told me not to do. No, let us begin to acknowledge who it is. Stop. Get rid of the it. Get rid of the something. See, Holy Spirit. Let's go on. When we look at this second assurance of the Holy Spirit coming,
Jesus tells the disciples that the Holy Spirit will continue, notice this, the education and the training process of becoming citizens of the kingdom. He has a job to do. The Holy Spirit, the counselor, the advocate, the standby, the strengthener. He has a job to do. So let us join the Holy Spirit in his classroom. The Holy Spirit says to us, as citizens of the kingdom of God, welcome into my classroom. I am going to guide you into all truth. John 16, verse 13, here's what it reads. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Notice this, the Holy Spirit, he lets us know. He says, I'm going to guide you into all truth. Here's the next thing. Here's what he says to us. We are in the classroom now of the Holy Spirit. He lets us know we will use the constitution of God's kingdom, which is the word of God. The Bible will be the textbook for this classroom. The Holy Spirit will use the word of God for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. 2 Timothy 3 and 16. In fact, you all, the Holy Spirit lets us know that he was instrumental in the writing of Scripture. We can see that in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. It reads, no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lets us know, Deacon Connor, as we have come into his classroom, he lets us know that this course is until God calls us home to live with him. This is a lifelong classroom training and learning. The Holy Spirit lets us know that his job is to mold us. His job is to transform us into the image of Christ. Form us into kingdom citizen. The Holy Spirit. See, he wants to mold us. He wants to mold us. He wants to transform us into the image of Christ. Well, what about this song, Have Thine Own Way, Lord? What does the first verse say? Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me. And make me after what? Thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. So there are some prerequisites, Apostle, as we go into the classroom and the Holy Spirit is teaching us. There are some prerequisites for the class. We have to get in a yielded position. We have to get in a position that we say, mold me, make me after thy will, not my will, but your will. See, we have to be ready. We have to be surrendered. We have to be submitted. I have made some bad decisions, Deacon Connor, because I did not listen to the Holy Spirit. See, I'm going to talk about myself. I can't talk about you because y'all probably on this line ain't made no bad decisions. But I made a bad decision because, guess what? I did not listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's why when we sing this song, Have Thine Own Way, we sing it so with such passion and such vigor. We sing it. But you have to look at what the word says. We're saying that I'm going to be in a yielded position. I'm going to surrender myself, submit myself, and allow God to mold me. I'm going to allow God to make me, and guess what? To align me to what? His will and not my will. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit says, come on into the classroom, Deborah. Come on into, invite others into the classroom, and here's what we're going to do. I'm going to mold you. I'm going to transform you into the image of Christ, into kingdom citizens. But keep in mind, if you're going to be in this classroom, Sister Ann, you must enter this classroom with wholehearted surrender, commitment, and a desire to be transformed. Romans 12, 1 and 2. You got to have a desire. You got to want to be changed. You got to say, you know what? This ain't working. What I've been doing all these, this is not working. Lord, I need you to work on my mouth. I need you to work on my eyes. I need you to work on my ear gates. Now, notice this. What we have used to do, notice what kind of results you're getting. You're not, and we're not aligned to the will, not aligned to the way, and not aligned to the word of God. This tonight, this is about alignment. Go on. If you are going to be, if we are going to be citizens of his kingdom, we must choose to surrender and submit to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the other thing you got to do. Apostle, we have to commit to studying the Constitution. We got to commit to studying the Word of God. We got to commit to study the manual. How many of us have ever been to school and you get in the classroom and the teacher telling you that this is going to be on the test and you just ignore it? She said, well, this is going to be on the test. You just sit there and say, oh, just forget it. And this going to be on the test. And this going to be on the test, Deacon Carter. And this going to be on the test. And then when test time comes, and you're sitting there and you go home and mama said, do you have any homework? No, ma'am. You don't have no test tomorrow? No, ma'am. Notice this. We as believers, the disciples of Christ, we cannot sit and have the Bible on our coffee table to look good. We cannot have the Bible on our phone just to say we got that app already there. We got to read the Word of God. We got to meditate on the Word of God. And we got to walk in the Word of God. Let me keep going tonight. Then notice this, Matthew 16 and 24, this is what it says. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. So what will I, as the Holy Spirit, do in this classroom environment? I'm so glad you all decided to come to class tonight. The first thing the Holy Spirit says, Deacon Carter, is he says, I will reinforce the biblical principles and truth of what Christ has already taught you about what it means to seek his kingdom and his righteousness first. Matthew 6 and 33. That's got to be priority number one, putting God's kingdom first and seeking and pursuing his righteousness. That's the first thing we need to write down tonight. This is what the Holy Spirit says. He says, I'm going to reinforce the biblical principles and truth of what Christ has already taught you about what it means to seek his kingdom and his righteousness first. Here's the second thing the Holy Spirit says he's going to do here in this classroom. He says, I will reinforce that kingdom greatness is measured by humility and not pride and arrogance, self-ambition, or self-promotion. is measured by serving and not being served. Go to Matthew chapter 18, verse number 3. I hope you're getting the scriptures tonight. And he said, truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. I want to say that one again. The Holy Spirit comes to reinforce in our lives and let us know that kingdom greatness is measured by humility and not by pride, not by arrogance, not by self-ambition, nor is it measured by self-promotion. The third thing the Holy Spirit says, I will reinforce Jesus' teaching on what it means to love your neighbor, love your enemies, and pray for others. Here's what Matthew 5:44 says. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. We need the Holy Spirit for us to be able to do this, Sister Brenda, for us to be able to love our enemies. Love the one that stabs you in the back. Love the one that's setting up traps for you. Love the one. Notice what it says. The Bible says, not Deborah Singleton. The Bible says, but I tell you, love your enemy. And the only way we can do this with the right attitude, the right motive, and to be able to do it the way God said do it is, we have to have the Holy Spirit activated in our lives. We have to have the Holy Spirit. We have to be in a yielded position and say, Lord, I cannot do this on my own. I can't do this, Lord. You know how bad they've hurt me. You know what they've said about me. You know how they've dragged my name through the mud and all of these things. And, Lord, you're telling me to love them? Lord, I want to please you, Lord. So I need the Holy Spirit to do this in me. I'm saying this tonight, you all, because we're carrying too many weights of unforgiveness around. We're carrying the weight of unforgiveness. And you keep carrying that weight of unforgiveness, it turns into bitterness. It turns into envy. It turns into all kinds of things. So we have to say, Lord, I cannot do this, but Holy Spirit, do this in me, because my desire is to please God. My desire is to get rid of anything, any inkling of anything, any root of anything, anything that wants to pop up in my life. Lord, I need the Holy Spirit. I need you to do this in me. I'm in a yielded position. I'm not stout-hearted. I'm not arguing with your Holy Spirit trying to tell you what they did to me. Holy Spirit, I need you to do this in my life. Let's go on. Holy Spirit, let's look at this. Holy Spirit is in our lives to cultivate the same character traits Jesus cultivated in his disciples. He wants to cultivate those traits in us. What are they, Minister Deborah? Go to Galatians chapter 5, 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit, capital S-P-I-R-I-T, is love, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, love, agape love. Joy, I didn't say happy. Happy is based on what's happening. Joy is not based on what's happening. I have joy, the peace of God that's on the inside of me, no matter what's happening. What the Holy Spirit does in the life of the yielded vessel, in the life of the believer, what he does is, Brother Eric, my sister and brothers, he cultivates the same character traits that Jesus cultivated in his disciples. Yes, that love, that joy, that peace, that forbearance, that kindness, that goodness, that faithfulness, that gentleness, and self-control. That's what the Holy Spirit does in our life, in the life of a yielded, in the life of a surrendered, in the life of a submitted, in the life of a disciple that says, I want to please God. I want you all to write it across your paper tonight if you believe that. If that's what you want, I want to please God. Put that on your paper. And to please God, we have to ask the Holy Spirit to cultivate the traits of Galatians 5:22-23 in us. We have to ask the Holy Spirit to cultivate the kind of love and the kind of prayer power that we need, that we can love our enemies and that we can pray for those that persecute us. Matthew 5:44. I want to please God. And if I want to please God, guess what I got to do? I have to go against the winds of the world. The world says, look, if they do it to you, you do it to them even worse. Notice this. The Lord, the Holy Spirit is in my life to align me to God's will, align me to God's way, to align me to God's word so that I can live a successful spiritual life in this world. Oh, when you put that across your paper, I want to please God. Then when we look at these traits tonight, when we look at the trait of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, here's the other thing. If I want to please God, the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of me, I am in a yielded position. I notice what the Holy Spirit says. The Holy Spirit says, I will help you with a new language. I will help you with a new language as a kingdom citizen. Do you want to please God? And if we want to please God, he says, I will give you a new language. Colossians 4:6. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each person. I'm going to say that one again. Colossians 4:6. If you want to please God, I want to please God. And to please God, again, I'm going to say it again, I have to be a yielded vessel, a submitted vessel, a surrendered vessel with my eyes, with my ears open, with a desire in my heart that says, I want the Holy Spirit to mold me. I want the Holy Spirit to make me. Notice what it says. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Let me give you another scripture, Matthew 12:36. But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. Matthew 12:36. That's why we have to be slow to speak. We have to be slow. We have to listen first. We have to listen, and then we have to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what do I need to say? Or do I need to say anything at all? Notice this. It says, the Holy Spirit says, I'm going to help you with a new language as a kingdom citizen. Let me go on. Here's what else the Holy Spirit says for us as yielded disciples, surrendered disciples, submitted disciples. He says, I will also teach you how to walk as royalty. Now, you all know over in England, you got Prince, I think, William, isn't it? William. And in the kingdom, when you are part of that royalty there, in England, what they do is after Princess Diane had those boys, what happened was there was a person there that she turned them to that was going to teach them, that taught them, as a matter of fact, how to what? They taught them how to dress. They taught them Deacon Carter how to walk. They taught them how to identify as royalty. They taught them all of these things. So what the Holy Spirit does is, because I'm a part of royalty, because I'm a part of the kingdom of God, the Holy Spirit says, I am going to teach you, Deborah, how to walk like royalty. Let me tell you something. That's one thing. You see those children over there, even though the little smaller ones, you got the William's children, and they have someone that tutors them. They have someone that teaches them how to walk, how to do all the formal, how to sit at the table, how to cut the, their food, how to do all of these things. Well, in our lives, in our spiritual lives, we have He Holy Spirit that works in us as yielded vessels. He teaches us how we are to live, how we are to go about our daily lives. So here's the thing, Sister Brenda. Wanted, the Holy Spirit says, I have been assigned to teach you how to walk as royalty. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Not walking anymore as you once did. What that is, what I used to walk when I was in the kingdom of darkness, when I wasn't saved. I was walking in the kingdom of darkness, and I was walking after what? I was walking after the flesh. I was gratifying the flesh. I was doing what I wanted to do. But notice this, now that I'm a part of the kingdom, I'm a kingdom citizen, I'm a daughter, we got sons on the line tonight that are kingdom citizens, the Holy Spirit said, now Deacon Connor, now Clarence, I'm going to teach you how to walk like royalty. When Deacon Connor went into the military, y'all, let me tell you, he wasn't doing that. He couldn't bring the same walk that he had when he was out here in Macon. He had to walk a certain way. He had to get a cadence about his walk. You know what I'm saying? Some of us got a swag to our walk and all these kinds of things. But when you get there, they get you in a formation, and you got to left, 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 right, right, right. So as a part of the kingdom of God, he says, I'm going to show you, Sister Gloria, how you are to walk like royalty, not walking anymore as you once did. Galatians 5, verse 16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The flesh don't go away, y'all. It don't go away. It's still there. It still wanted to be in charge. It still wants to take over. But we have to understand, as yielded vessels, wanted to please God, as you've written on your paper, then I have to start walking, what? Walking by the Spirit, aligning myself to that which pleases God, which we have talked about earlier. Let me go on. Here's what the Holy Spirit says. I will teach you how, in your daily living, to live a life worthy of the calling you have received, Ephesians 4:1. We have been called out of the world of darkness. We've been called out of the world of darkness. And the Holy Spirit says that I am here. Jesus had already gone to the Father, and he had already, and I'm here. I'm here. I'm living inside of you. I'm dwelling inside of you. And I'm going to show you how to say no. Isn't that something? The Holy Spirit showing us how to say no. Have you ever had, especially during Thanksgiving, we had a slice of pie. Well, as a matter of fact, let me I'll confess tonight. I ate a bowl of soup today. It was delicious. It was just like Carrabba's soup. It was delicious, and Sister Ruby, I had some more there, and I'm gonna tell y'all, I looked at, oh, this is so good, I want some more of it, but I said, Holy Spirit said, oh no, you don't need no more, you had enough, you've had your bowl of soup, you had your piece of cornbread to go with it, you've had something, that's enough. Let me tell you also, the Holy Spirit is in us, dwells in us, and the Holy Spirit will speak to you just as loud and clear and say, no, don't do that. No, don't say that. No, don't walk there. So as the Holy Spirit said, not only am I going to teach you how to walk as royalty, Sister Ann, he says, I will help you understand what it means to put on your new wardrobe, your new clothes of righteousness. Yeah, Pastor Kuiper, notice this, what the Holy Spirit, his role in terms of teaching, his role in terms of reminding me of who I am. He said, what do my new wardrobe look like, Deacon Connor? Here's what it looks like in Colossians chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with what? Compassion. Clothe yourself with kindness. Clothe yourself with humility. Clothe yourself with gentleness. And clothe yourself with what? With patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. I'm going to read that one again. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, notice what he tells us to do, Apostle. He says, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. We as disciples of Christ, we have a new wardrobe. You have a new set of clothes that you're supposed to be wearing. You're supposed to be putting on compassion. You're supposed to be putting on kindness. You're supposed to have on humility. You're supposed to have on gentleness. And people have to be able to say, that's a disciple of Christ. That's an ambassador of the King. That's a kingdom citizen over there, because I see the way they walk. They walk like royalty. I see what they're wearing. They got on the wardrobe of royalty. Oh, what about that prodigal son? Remember, y'all, when he went to, and he got down there in the country and he spent all of his money, when he borrowed it, he lent it out and to everybody. People were borrowing from him. He was giving it to them. He was setting up, feeding everybody, walked in the Longhorn and he said, the bill is on me, the tab is on me, and he had nothing. Went to the hog pen, and y'all know what happened there. And then it said he came to himself. But notice how he returns back to his father. He returns ragged. He returns in such a way, not the way he left, but notice what the father does, how the father brings him back, how the father gives him royal clothes, how the father gives him a ring, how the father gives him shoes. And that's what God does for us.
Amen.
That's what he does for us. We are royalty. And he gives us a way how to walk, how we are to dress. Let me give you one more. Here's the other thing, you are, my sisters and brothers tonight, the Holy Spirit. He teaches us how we should think as a kingdom citizen. See, we have to change our thinking, our way of thinking. Here, let me give you a scripture, Romans 8, 6b. But if our minds are ruled by the Spirit, you will have life and you will have peace. Here's the other thing. Let me give you one from Colossians chapter 3, verse number 2, how the Holy Spirit teaches us how we should think. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 2, set your mind and keep focused habitually on the things above, the heavenly things, not on things that are on the earth, which have only temporal value. Notice this. The Holy Spirit teaches me how to walk. The Holy Spirit teaches me how to dress. The Holy Spirit teaches me how I'm supposed to think. But here's something else the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit teaches me what it means about my new identity as a royal son and daughter. Let me give you a scripture. Galatians chapter 4, verse number 7. You are no longer slaves. You are God's children. Another scripture, 2 Corinthians 6 and 18. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Let me give you another scripture that tells you who you are. Psalms 8 and 5. You have been crowned with glory and honor. So the Holy Spirit helps me, aligns me with my new identity in Christ Jesus. Too many people go back and say, I'm a sinner saved by grace. No, I am saved. I am a saint. I am a child of the King. I'm a citizen of the kingdom. And when I misstep, when I mess up, when I sin, I go to 1 John 1 and 9. I go there. I ask God to what? Forgive me of my sins, because he said, if we would confess. And I'll tell you tonight, don't be so arrogant. Don't get to the point with so much pride. Don't start pointing, well, they didn't do it, and I'm not going to do it. Let me tell you something. Don't stay outside because somebody else is on the outside. Come on back into the house. And too many times we're not telling people how to come back to the Lord. Here we go. Let me keep going. The Holy Spirit said, I'm going to teach you how to walk. I'm going to teach you about your new wardrobe. I'm going to teach you how to dress. I'm going to teach you how to think. I'm going to talk to you about, I'm going to teach you about your new identity and who you are and who you belong to, that you are no longer slaves and that you are children of God. Tonight, I want to remind us, after all that the Holy Spirit teaches us, after all the Holy Spirit reminds us of, reminding us of Christ's living, how he lived, how he died, and reminding us of the resurrection. We as disciples of Christ, kingdom citizens, got to understand, Deacon Connor, that there's an internship piece to this. See, remember, some of us, you go to school, and then all of a sudden the teacher want to know, do you really understand what you say you got in the class? So what happens is we get an opportunity to show, we get an opportunity to walk this out. And what does the Holy Spirit say? The Holy Spirit says we are called as disciples, as citizens of the kingdom, to go and train others, to share with them what we have learned, and to influence them to be a part of the kingdom classroom experience, Matthew 28:19-20. So how do I apply this lesson to my life tonight as I come to a close? First, I got to follow the student requirements to be a citizen of the kingdom. The second thing is I got to read the Constitution. I got to read and study the manual. I got to read and study the Word of God. I got to study it. I got to meditate on it. And then I got to apply it to my life, Psalm 1 and 2. The second thing is I cannot rely on my own understanding. I must seek insight from the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher, who's the tutor, and who is the mentor. The third thing is I got to have a desire to be an effective kingdom citizen and always aligning myself to the will and the way and the word of God. I got to have this that says, I want to please God. And here is how I please God. Here is how I walk as royalty. Here is how I talk as royalty. Here is how I think as royalty. Here is how I dress as royalty. My prayer point tonight is this. Lord, I cannot be the kingdom citizen on my own. I need he, Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, leading, guiding, and teaching me, correcting me, rerouting me. Lord, I desire to remain in a teachable position, understanding my kingdom citizenship. I pray tonight that you receive something from this study as we looked at the role and responsibility of the Holy Spirit and the teaching position, functioning as our teacher, functioning as our mentor, functioning as our tutor. Tonight, do you want to please God? If so, Holy Spirit, I surrender, I submit, I desire to be transformed. I'm in a yielded position. Teach me. Order my steps in the way I should go. Because I got my first priority. I got my priorities right. Because I want to seek the kingdom of God. I want to seek and pursue his righteousness. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dr. Dale.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Apostle, how you doing this evening?
By grace, I am well.
Deep.
Amen. 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 Amen.
What a walk. What a walk.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen.
It certainly was, Deacon Connor, a powerful walk, that it would remind us, it reminded me of who we have walking with us.
Mm-hmm.
All of the power, all of who God is, the Godhead, it rests in Jesus and in that spirit, that they work together and they are, you know, within us, and what power we have on the inside of us to
mm-hmm.
accomplish whatever he has said unto us. As he was preparing the disciples for his departure, he let them know that he would not leave them, you know, alone, that he would ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the Hebrew, it's the paraclete, the
mm-hmm.
paracletus, the helper, the teacher, the guide,
mm-hmm.
the leader, everything we need to be successful citizens of heaven right here in the earth. God has provided for us that help, that aid. And so many times when we pray, and I've been there, when we pray sometime, we expect for God to do it all. But the
mm-hmm.
Holy Spirit is an aid. It's a guide.
Mm-hmm.
It's a helper. It's
mm-hmm.
not, we say, Lord, sometimes, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. And a lot of times we just sit around and saying, help me. But it means to aid me. So that means we have to be busy. And we have to be about the Father's business. I thank God for the paraclete, for the aid, for the helper. Sometimes we don't have time to even pray a long prayer, but
mm-hmm.
we can just say Jesus, and that aid is right there, that advocate,
yes.
that defender
yes.
Is right there, ready to aid and ready to help. And so I thank God for that. As she brought out tonight what he does and who he is. And he is somebody. And I'm going to go to forth and say, when we use the Holy Spirit, or we are allowed to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, we can get any job done. We can get through any situation. We have just that powerful helper, comforter. And so many times when the Lord speaks to us through that Spirit, the Holy Spirit speaks through us, and he guides us in speaking to us. He directs us in speaking to us. As Dr. Deb said, sometimes he'll say, don't do that. And
mm-hmm.
I can remember not very long ago, a doctor had put me on a medication, and I'd taken the medication maybe 3 months or so, and I was getting where even just turning over in the bed was out of breath. Couldn't walk from a bedroom to the bathroom with being just out of breath. And after having
mm-hmm.
taken it 3 months, I began to, the process of taking it one night, pouring it into my hand and
mm-hmm.
got my little water. And as I poured it into my hand, the Holy Spirit, I mean, just this plain as if somebody was in the room with me, said, don't take that. And it kind of stunned me, because I've been taking it now about 3 months. But when he said, he really got my attention, and I was like, don't take it. I've been taking this for 3 months. But I obeyed. And that's one thing that Dr. Deb made perfectly clear to us, that we must obey. We can hear and we can override
the Holy Spirit. So we must walk in obedience, and that's one of the things that the Holy Spirit was teaching the disciples when he sent that comfort to that guide, that teacher, that leader, that they would have to cooperate with it. They would have to work with it. If we've been given instructions to giving to for our safety, even here in the world, and we fail to follow them and something happens, you know, we can't blame whatever process gave it to us, whatever teacher, because we didn't obey. So we have to follow through when the Holy Spirit speaks to us. We have to, he knows all things. He sees, hears all things. So we have to know that he knows more than us. He can see further down the road than we can, and around the corner and over the hill and, you know, in the outer darkness or whatever. So we must obey the Holy Spirit that's given unto us. Jesus said that we would be able, when he sent that paraclete, that helper, we would be able to do greater works than he done. We're to take over where he left off, the great commission. They were to disciples, and yet us today, we're to take up where Christ left off, to get the kingdom of God. He said we should go in hedges and highways and compel people to come, that there might be, you know, people in the house of God. And so we still have basically the same job. And so when he said greater works, and we know Jesus opened the eyes of the blind, he unstopped deaf ears, he stretched out withered limbs, and, you know, stopped blood from flowing, and even stopped a funeral on the way to the graveside, and woke him up and gave him life. So what would be greater works than what Jesus done? And so what that greater works done mean, opening eyes of the blind, even witnesses and bringing people into the kingdom of God, was one of the greatest ones, that they would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And what he done, how can we do more? I remember Jesus raising 3 people from the dead. If I'm going to do a greater work in that area, then if he done 3, I need to get 4. And so when he said greater works, what the work he done, it was heaven's work. It was kingdom's work. It was the mission which he came to accomplish. So he didn't mean that, you know, we could do greater than what he done other than numerically. If he raised 4 from the dead, you know, if we believe and don't doubt in our heart, he said that we would be able to raise the dead. If he got 3, I need to get at least 4. And that's numerically. We can do greater, because our life, my life right now, is greater than the years that Jesus had. And if I have had so much more time, it would make a little logic that I could possibly do, you know, greater works numerically than what Christ has done. And I think for us to be successful in this world, in this present world, to be successful citizens of heaven living right here, then we must cooperate with the Holy Spirit, that teacher, that advocate, that comforter, that leader, that guide. We must obey. And she talked about tonight the teacher of the Holy Spirit that would teach us all things, all the things that he had said unto them, even when he left, that the Holy Spirit would be there to remind them. And I thank God for being a great teacher in my life, in my walk in the kingdom. It has been a blessing to me to direct and lead and say, don't do this and don't do that. And even in the medication, that after I heard it, I picked up my phone and I Googled that particular medication, and it said the first thing, it was a whole slew of side effects, but the first thing it said was respiratory problems and death. So we have a great teacher. His knowledge, his wisdom, you know, is truth and it's correct, and we don't have to wonder about it when he gives us instruction. You know, sometimes we do it, try to figure out, God give us direction or instruction. We're trying to figure out what's going to happen instead of moving as Abraham does. But I thank God that one day Jesus said when he left, when he got back, he would send that comforter. And I know tonight that Jesus made it to heaven, because over 50-some years ago, I received the comforter. So I know from experience that he, amen, got back to heaven. He sent that paraclete. He sent that helper. And I'm so glad tonight that I know the Holy Spirit lives within me. I know that he's not only that advocate and comforter and leader and guide, but he's the lover of my soul.
Yes, Lord.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Blessed be the
Hallelujah.
Name of the Lord.
Glory.
Amen. I'm so glad that I, amen, was acquainted with this paraclete,
thank
with this
Lord.
Mediator that stand in between. Even today, I received a phone call rather early this morning. And the lady that was on the phone, she said, Apostle, she said, can you talk with someone? I have someone here. Can you just talk with them for me? And so I told her, I said, I'll do my best, put her on the phone. And as I got on the phone, the woman was really, I mean, crying hysterically. And I gave her a moment to, you know, do what she needed. I don't necessarily believe that when people are crying, that I should say, don't cry. I'll tell them, let the tears flow. Tears are a way of release. And so I gave her a moment to cry, and I began to say to her, now come on and talk to me. Tell me what's going on. And as she was weeping and as I was talking to encouraging her, I was also talking to the helper, talking to that teacher. Glory to God, down on the inside. Amen.
Yes.
Bless the name of the Lord. Because I know without him, without the Godhead, I can do nothing. Amen. Glory to God. But with him, all things that he assigned, that he enabled, that he empowers to do, we can do it through him. And when she began to talk, and she said, a whole life has been like this and it's been like that, and my mom had 9 children, and she didn't raise not one of them. They finally taken all of us, all of the kids from her, and at some time 3 of them came back, and she was abusive, and they were introduced to incest and just all kind of things. And she was saying, God, I can't take no more. God, I can't do it no more. I just can't go no further. And so I began to talk to her and question her and ask her some questions. My first question was, do you know who Jesus is? Do you know? Have you been acquainted with him? I said, we can do nothing without him. We need him. He can change. It's nothing too hard for him. And I said, I've been through my own valley experience and my own desert experience, and I can tell you of a truth from experience that God can do anything that he desires to do. And so when I said to her, man, I've been through some tears, I've been through some crying and weeping and laying awake all night, and I know that the power of God works. And did you not know, this woman asked me, and she said, oh, you say you was a lesbian too? I'm like, no, ma'am, I did not say that. And she said, well, oh, I guess it's out the bag. I guess you'll hate me like everybody else does. I said, no, ma'am. God gave you a will to choose, and there's no reason for me to hate you because of what you chose. Our choosing has consequences, whether they're good or bad. And I began to talk to her, but this woman got so, when I told her about that lifestyle needed to be changed, and you needed to give your life to Christ, and you need to give your life to God, and he can do it. And God sometimes allow things to draw us to him. And this woman began to tell me, nobody's going to change who she is. She was born a lesbian. She's going to die one. And I went on and said, God, and I said, he, like Dr. Deb was saying, by he, the Holy Ghost, he, the Holy Spirit. When I said he with God, oh, no, you're not going to sit here and tell me that God is no he. Why is you calling God a he? God is me, and I'm a she. I was like, oh, my God, what is this? But she got so irate, and as I tried to talk, she talked over me. And she told me, you might as well just hush. I had made an appointment to sit down and talk with her face-to-face. She had given me her number. But when this lesbian thing hit the air, she just wasn't hearing anything else. God was a she, and she didn't want nothing to do with this European God and this European white man God, and she just wanted nothing else. So I just was quiet. But when I heard the teacher say, shake the dust off your feet, we are to offer Christ to people, but when they straight out refuse it and want to make a debate and an argument, I just backed it off. And I told her, I said, young lady, I will continually pray for you that God will give you a change of mind and a change of direction, because even that is not too hard for our teacher, for our advocate, for our comforter, for the lover of our souls, even that. And I had taken her name, and even throughout the afternoon, I was calling her name out to God, because sometimes if people, I didn't change the first time I heard about God, but there is nothing too hard for him. But I thank God for my helper, for my aid, for my defender, for my mediator, because he does teach, he does lead, he does guide. And he shows us how that we should love God, and that's obedience. No ifs, no excuses. Whatever he said, even Mary, the mother of Jesus, told him one time at the wedding, whatever he say, do, you do that. And if we do that, we can be successful in this present world with all of its chaos and all of its troubles, all of its problems. We can be successful in the things that God has called us to in the kingdom work, and for the kingdom of God and for his glory. Thank you, woman of God, for that great reminder that I have somebody. Sometimes there were times in my life when the enemy make you feel like you're all alone and nobody understands. But I know tonight I have someone living on the inside of me that is greater than all of my troubles, my problems, my trials. And he is not only, he's rooting for us. He's that mediator. He's that intercessor that he's rooting for us to be successful, because he does not want anyone to perish. Thank God for you and for that walk in the word tonight. Thank God for each of you and for the part and for the job that you play for the kingdom and for the ministry. Thank God for the callers, the males, the females, for whatever part you play, the hosts, the prayer warriors, the songsters, whatever part you play. Sometimes just calling in and being in the background. Don't have to be up front, but have the ministry in the kingdom of God so at mind that you come to support the work of God. God bless each of you. Pray that each of you will have a great rest of your evening and week, and God bless you. And let us keep in mind the things that we've been taught tonight through the woman of God who served at the menu that God had given her for us tonight. God bless each of you.
Amen. Amen. Apostle, just also for our listeners tonight, as you were speaking, the scripture of Luke chapter 12, verse number 12 comes to mind. And it reads, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour and moment what you ought to say. And what an illustration of a real life situation that has occurred and has occurred to many of us on this line, that the Holy Spirit, if we are yielded vessels, if we are submitted vessels, surrendered vessels, and in alignment, the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour as well as moment what you ought to say. And that's awesome, Apostle, how it aligns, your situation aligns with the word of God. And I'm so glad, I'm like you, I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit dwells inside of me. And as I stay yielded with my ears open, my heart open and in a teachable position, teachable, not saying that I got it all and I know what to do, yeah. and I know how to check the boxes off. No, I don't. Holy Spirit, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to respond or what to do. Teach me. And it said the word of God says, not only in the very hour, but in the very moment.
Yes, he will.
He will do it. So thank you for that. And then I just thank the Holy Spirit for showing us, go to Luke 12:12 and show those on the line. No matter what situation you find yourself in, whether you're at the bank, trying to get a loan, whether you're in terms
yes.
of a job, in terms of making decisions, at that very
yes,
hour
yes.
and that mm. very moment,
mm.
he'll do it. He'll
yes,
do it.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you, Apostle.
Amen. Amen. Dr. Deb, also, as you were speaking, I heard the scripture that says, he that has an ear, let him hear.
Yes.
And you was explaining that we got to be tuned in. We got to be aligned.
Yes.
We got to be in position. And so I thank God for that, you know, that God led you in Luke. And it does in the very moment. And especially when somebody come to me, even while I'm allowing them to tell me what their situation is, I'm already in tune with the Spirit.
Yes, yes.
I don't know what to say, but he will give you what to say.
Yes.
And I thank God for that. But he says, let him that have an ear to hear, let him that have an ear hear what the Spirit says. And
yes.
so when that scripture came to me, what it is saying is let him have an ear to hear. Everybody have ear, but they don't have an ear to hear.
Yes.
So with having anybody have an ear, let them hear. It's saying if they have an ear to hear, if they want to be aligned, if they want to obey, if they want to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, if they want this kingdom work, if they want to be successful, all of us have ears. And sometimes it says we hear what we want to hear. But this scripture reminds me tonight, as you was talking in line with what you were saying, we must have an ear to hear the Holy Spirit. Some people say the Lord never speaks to them. They may not be in the right position. They may not be
yes.
aligned.
Yes.
And so we might need to check that. But it's all about obedience and cooperation to be in that place. And as I said, I know God is the wisdom we need in every situation. So that's just my thing of praying when somebody come to me for anything, for prayer, for whatever counseling. Lord, what should I say? Lord, direct me. God, you know, guide my tongue. And so he does those things. I said, with the Holy Spirit, we have everything we need to be successful in this present world. Thank you for that, Dr. Deb.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Apostle, for being transparent in a ministry opportunity that was presented to you and showing us how you handled it, showed us how you relied upon Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, to minister to you for your heart and your ears being open to do exactly what you needed to. You know, we go around, we quote that scripture, great is he that is in me than he that is in the world. But we have to rely on that power. We
yes.
have to rely on the power, the power that God has placed on us, inside of us as believers. We have to know that it's stronger than any external force that's out there.
All
he
right,
lives
all right.
in me. He lives in me.
Hallelujah.
I got supernatural power that resides on the inside of me. And if I have
yeah.
supernatural power, then I'm able to do supernatural things.
Amen,
why?
Amen.
Not because of me, but it's because who lives in me. And
yeah.
and if I want more of him, I can have more of him. I don't, you nor I or any have a corner on God. The more you want, all you have to do is hunger and thirst, yield, submit, walk in obedience, he will give it to you. And
yeah.
and I'm just so glad as you shared that scripture. And then when we look at great is he that is in us, how powerful the supernatural that we have. My oldest son, Darrell, used to say, God put super on top of our natural. And it's awesome. Thank you so much.
Amen. God bless you. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir, unless there are some other comments tonight from our study on the Holy Spirit being our teacher. Amen.
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 Wonderful. If there are no comments, we'll move on to our praise reports for this evening. Then a wonderful holiday for me and my family. And I pray the same thing for you and yours. And we, as we march on to celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, praise reports this evening. How about it, Sunshine?
I thank God that I'm moving better. I'm standing up straighter. I'm not bent over anymore. I'm not limping anymore. I just thank God for life.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
No doubt.
Amen.
Amen. See what the Lord has done. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Anyone else? We've been through Thanksgiving, working, celebrating friends and family, and then we moved on to Black Friday and went out and spent our money, gifts for somebody else, not necessarily for us. And we thank God for being able to do that. That's also a period of celebration. Anyone else?
Today was Giving Tuesday.
That's right. That's right. It sure was.
That's right. It sure was.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Still too. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I so much enjoyed my family. They were here. Busloads. Making noise. Knocking over stuff. Going to basketball in the ditch. Wouldn't run down there again. Amen. Anyone else? Prayer list. We had somebody add it earlier.
Amen, Mac. And also, Sister Dudley, have you talked to, I know you have, Sister Taylor, Pat Taylor, how's she doing?
Hello.
We're going to keep Sister Taylor in prayer. There's some movement, but we're going to keep her lifted in prayer.
Yes, amen. Amen. Okay, if there's no one else to be added, we will move to the scripture. Dr. Dale.
Amen. We want to go over to 1 John tonight. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, beginning with verse number 7. Verse number 7. And our scripture is to encourage us to be the disciples, the ambassadors, the kingdom citizens, to tell someone else about Jesus, that he lives and he saves. And if that person is not saved or not giving their life to Christ, that they can. And it's also to encourage us, if we know someone that is a part of the kingdom and that's a kingdom citizen that has misstepped, how we can go back and help them and show them how they can be restored. 1 John, beginning with chapter 1, verse number 7. But if we really are living and walking in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have true unbroken fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses, removes us from all sin and guilt, keeps us cleansed from sin and all its forms and manifestations.
If we say we have no sin, refusing to admit that we are sinners, we delude and lead ourselves astray. And the truth, which is the gospel presents, is not in us, does not dwell in our hearts. But look at verse number 9. If we freely admit that we have sinned and confess our sins, this is for the believer, he is faithful and just, true to his own nature and promises, and will forgive our sins, dismiss our lawlessness, and continuously cleanse us from all unrighteousness, everything not in conformity to his will, in purpose, thought, and action. I look at this verse and I see what the Lord would do in our lives. All we have to do is simply say, Lord, I admit, and the Lord says, I'm faithful, and I'll clean you up and I'll restore you. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Sister Brenda?
Yes, sir. Our Father, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you that it does lead and guide us. And Lord, we come today lifting up these, your people, on our prayer list.
Yes.
Of all, asking your forgiveness for all my sins, known and unknown, and thought and unthought.
Yes.
I come today lifting up Ann Mack. I come lifting up her husband, Isaiah, and family.
Yes.
I'm lifting up healing. I understand she's still in ICU, and we claim healing right now in the name of Jesus. We come lifting her up right now. We come lifting up Pat Taylor. Lifting up clarity of her mind and walking and talking and breathing and giving you praise.
Yes.
We come lifting up Ruby D. We thank you for her progress report. We're going to praise you for that. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Yes. Thank you,
Lord. We
come
lifting up Ruby C as she's scheduled for procedure on the 10th. We come lifting her up, Lord.
Yes.
We come lifting up Jig. We thank you for how you blessed Jig, and we lift him up continuously.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, we come right now lifting up the lady that Pastor Adside had the privilege to talk to today.
Yes.
God of mine.
Oh, do God.
God of mine.
Do Lord, do Lord.
Lord, first of all, get in her and let her know that you are the Christ.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, get in her. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus.
We ask you to take over her life.
Yes, do it, Lord.
Let her know that you are the real Christ.
Yes, yes, none beside you.
Oh, Lord, we come today thanking you for... We thank you for ministers. We thank you for preachers. We thank you for apostles. We thank you for all these that are on this line, that have come to be a part of this line and to put your word out there so that we can hear. And not only be doers of your word, that we just won't hear, that we will do what we have been told to do, what your word says to do. And that we will confess our sins when we fall short.
Yes.
And that you are able to forgive us. So, Lord, we lift you up right now, thanking you. I thank you that I had guidance in my life.
Yes.
I thank you that long ago there was a mother, there was a grandmother, there were people in my life that knew Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah,
thank you, Lord.
We just give you the praise, Lord, because we realize that is so important that we have somebody to teach us about Jesus.
Yes.
So, Lord, I thank you that I brought my children up knowing Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord. Now, some of the grandchildren may not be getting it, but I have taught those that I had the hand on. So, Lord, I give you, just give them all over to you, that they will surrender their lives unto Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Lord, in the name of Jesus, we come today. We're going to give you the praise. We're going to give you the glory. And we're going to give you the thanks. And we're going to let your Holy Spirit continue to lead us day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, second by second. So, Lord, we say thank you, thank you, thank you. In the precious name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, yes, yes, Lord. We thank you for our walk in the Word this evening. We thank you for the power of your Son Christ. We thank you, oh God, that we were able to enjoy another evening of walking the Word.
Yes.
Thank
you,
Lord. Thank you, Doug.
Amen. Blessing to me.
So,
thank you, Lord.
Again, thank you, Lord.
Make you appreciate it much more.
We pray. We pray and we rejoice and we hope to hear you again on this coming Sunday. Good night, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
Love y'all.
Good night. Love you all.
Thank you. Good night.
Love you all. Mom, Aurelia, Maddie, where are you people at?